So 1 Corinthians 15 tells us the end is not his coming, but after he must rule and reign. Each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, his second coming, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him, who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. So the end is when Jesus has ruled and reigned over all his enemies. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. We see that Satan isn't thrown into the lake of fire till at the end of the millennium. Now, so we've got to understand the difference between the first fruits and the whole lump. This is why there's two resurrections. The resurrection of the just in Christ, and then the resurrection at the end of the great white throne judgment. One is the first fruits, the 10%, that first fruits of the harvest. But the whole harvest is at the end. The whole lump is dealt with at the end. We are a picture. And we're going to get into that. All right? So, let's talk about this end. The end of the age. The end of the age is not Jesus coming back. The end of the age is at the great white throne judgment. It's the end of this world. In the King James it says in the end of the world. Here it says the end of the age. So when we look in Matthew 13, listen to Jesus' parable and you'll see it. When we're talking about the parable of the weeds and the tares, the weeds and the wheat, in the translation, the interpretation of it in verse 37 of chapter 13, Jesus says this: the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus. The field is the world. Now let's remember the whole picture here, Blake. Jesus, for God so loved the world, not just a few out of the world, not just the first fruits. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Now, don't get concerned. I'm not teaching universalism. It's only those who receive Jesus. Jesus died for everybody, but only those who receive him actually have a part in it. But anyway, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. So what does this tell you about the end of the age? The world isn't destroyed until 1,000 years after Jesus comes. So the whole world is dealt with, not just to the point Jesus comes, but 1,000 years after that. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemies who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Now, this isn't speaking of us at the resurrection in Christ being gathered. The harvesters are angels at the end of the age, the end of the world, as it says in King James. All the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire. The fire is the second death, the lake of fire, where everyone whose name was not found written in the book of life is cast into that lake of fire. The weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age, the end of the world. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they'll weed everything out of his kingdom that causes sin and all who do evil, and they'll throw them into the fiery furnace. That's not hell. That's the lake of fire. And no one gets thrown into the lake of fire until the end of the age, at the great white throne judgment, other than the beast and the false prophet who were thrown in at Jesus' return. And that's Revelation 19. The fiery furnace where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun of the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So with that understanding now, going back to Matthew 24, we start to understand what the end is. The end is not just Jesus' return, According to 1 Corinthians 15, it's after he has destroyed all dominion and authority and power, and the end is the end of the age, Matthew 13, when the angels harvest everything out of his kingdom and they're thrown into that fiery lake and burned. Then righteousness will sign the Son. That's at the end of the age. So, in Matthew 24, now we can take that word, the end, and see how Jesus is referring to it. Now, I want you to know that when his disciples came to him, in Matthew 24, they asked him three basic questions. It started out when Jesus, in verse 1, left the temple and was walking away, when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. He said, "Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." Now later, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and says, "Tell us, when will this happen? When will this temple be destroyed? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Or as King James says, the end of the world. Direct correlation to Matthew 13. End of the age, end of the world. So these three questions are what they asked him. When will this happen? The temple be destroyed. What will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the end of the world? When sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Jesus, this is how he answered him. "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You hear of wars and of rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come." What is the end? The end of the age. "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are a beginning of the birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." What end? When will the end come? After Jesus has given all dominion. So we see the gospel, in its purity, is going to still be preached to the nations during those 1,000 years, where Jesus rules and reigns over them with a rod of iron. So, now, that was the synopsis. Jesus gave a synopsis. Now we get to the specifics. Now remember, he's going to answer these three questions, Blake. When will this happen? The temple be destroyed? What will be the sign of your coming? The sign of your coming. And what will be the end of the age? When will be the end of the age? So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be a great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Now, Jesus is not just dealing with the 70 AD, but he's using 70 AD as the type. This is that weaving in and out of the future and the examples. We still are going to see something like this in the future, because the abomination of desolation hasn't happened. Now, when we see, Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation, then begins the greatest tribulation that ever was or shall be. We haven't seen that yet. What we've seen only happened there in 70 AD happened in Jerusalem, not in the whole world. And I want you to see how this is talking about the whole world. All right, first let's deal with this fact. Daniel 9:27 tells us that this prince who is to come tells us that he will make a 7-year covenant with many. Now, in the midst of this 7-year covenant, he will cause the abomination of desolation. Now, notice what Jesus said. When you see the abomination of desolation, verse 15, as spoken of by the prophet Daniel, so we know what he's talking about, then will be the greatest tribulation that man will ever see, verse 21. So what does that tell you? There isn't a 7-year tribulation, it was a 7-year covenant. It's in the middle of a covenant that he causes the abomination of desolation. It's in the middle of that covenant he causes the abomination of desolation. This starts the great tribulation according to Jesus. So that makes, there's only 7 years, 3.5 years into it, in the middle of it he causes it, so there's only 3.5 years left. The great tribulation is only 3.5 years long. This lines up with Revelation 13. The Antichrist is only given power to rule and reign for 42 months, 3.5 years. It matches up with chapter 11 of Revelation. The temple is given over to the Gentiles for 3.5 years, 42 months. It matches up with how long the two great witnesses prophesy, 1,260 days, 3.5 years. It matches up to how long a place is made for the woman in the wilderness, 1,260 days, 3.5 years. So he's only given power to continue for 42 months. So his ruling and reigning starts with the abomination of desolation, and that's what reveals him. So as we go on, it says, at that time, if anyone... So we've dealt with the destruction of the temple. It is both talking about the one in 70 AD as a picture of what's going to happen in the future. And we know it's the future because of this. For then there will be great distress and equal from the beginning of the world until now, and never be equaled again. That's the world. And if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, there he is, don't believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect if that were possible. See, I've told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you to go out in the desert, do not go out. The minute a preterist says, look, there he is, or anybody else says, look, there he is, they're lying. Because it tells us, as lightning, verse 27, that comes from the east is visible even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Everyone will see it. Where there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Now, the carcass is talking, and we're going to prove this, the carcass is not talking about Jesus or the body of Christ or anything like that. It's talking about the Antichrist's body, his army. The head has been cut off, Revelation 19, and then God calls to the birds of the air, come and feast on the blood of captains and kings. This is a reference to that. This is Armageddon. Where there is a carcass, the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, now remember the second question. He dealt with the temple, right, Blake? Here's the second question. What will the sign of your coming be? Your sign. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And all the nations of the earth will mourn. Oh, all the nations, not righteous people. So it's not just those who have the eyes of understanding. Everybody in the world will see it. It's visible. And they'll mourn. It says in Zechariah and Revelations, even those who pierced him, speaking of the Jews, all of them will mourn. When they see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory, and he'll send his angels out with a loud trumpet call, and they'll gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now this is the gathering. This is at Jesus' coming. It didn't happen 7 years before that. This is the gathering of the elect. This is the resurrection in Christ. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. A lot of people have tried to say that this is Israel. Learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. He's using the fig tree as an example here. That's what, yeah, they try to read this 1948 thing into it, but that's not true. He's using the fig tree as a parable. If you know when you see a fig tree from experience, when its branches get tender and its leaves come out, you know summer's on the way. That's one of the ways you can tell summer is coming. So when you see these things happening, the abomination of desolation and the other thing, you know that Jesus' coming is near. That's all it's saying. It's right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation that sees these things will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. All right. So no one knows about the day or the hour. Now, I don't want to skip over the fig tree thing. There is a parable there that has meaning. But I'm not going to get into it for our purposes right now. We can talk about that a little later. There is a meaning there. But that really leads segues into almost a different subject. Now, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. The day and hour of what? Ask yourself. No one knows the day and the hour of what? Jesus is coming. But as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. No one knows the day and the hour of Jesus' coming. But as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. All right? Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Oh, this isn't the end of the age. This isn't Jesus' coming. It just said this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. At Jesus' coming. So who's being gathered here at Jesus' coming? His elect. He'll gather his elect from the four winds at his coming. So this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. See, we already expressed about the gathering of the weeds. The weeds are at the end of the age. This is Jesus' coming for his elect. So the ones that are, if this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. This is at Jesus' second coming, the gathering of his elect. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. The key here to understanding it is that it is Jesus' coming, and the only people removed at Jesus' coming are the elect. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and wouldn't have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour you don't expect him. Now, he comes as a thief in the night. I want you to remember that point. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him so doing when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But suppose the servant is wicked and says to himself, "My master is staying away a long time." He then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day he does not expect him. So I want you to remember, the sleeping servant, when the thief broke into his house, Jesus comes as a thief, and the drunken servant at Jesus' coming. All right, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to go over now to what they call the rapture verse and compare it. I want you to see that Paul quotes Jesus from Matthew 24, thought for thought. Starting in chapter 4, reading verse 13 and reading down to chapter 5. And this will amaze you. All right. All right, starting in verse 13. Now Jesus is talking about those three questions the disciples asking. We've dealt with two of them: the destruction of the temple and the end and the sign of his coming. We've still got to go back to Matthew 25 and see about the end of the age. But let's stop here and talk about, because Jesus talked about breaking into the house as a thief in the night, as in the days of Noah, when they're saying peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. the suffering, I mean the sleeping servant who wasn't awake when the thief came. He comes as a thief in the night. And the drunken servant who thought his master delayed his coming. I want you to remember those. Now Paul is talking about the resurrection, which is the gathering of the elect at Jesus' coming, the resurrection of those in Christ. He says, brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Because we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and are left till the coming of the Lord, this is the second coming, says it flat out, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, same kind of thing is pictured in Matthew 24, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are left alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds, together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So we'll always be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, this is Jesus' second coming. This is him on his way down. We go to meet him in the air. He says, now, brothers, just continuing on to 5, about when is the timing of this event? Now, brothers, about times and dates, we don't need to write. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. This is telling you that this is the beginning of the day of the Lord. Jesus is coming. And it comes as a thief in the night. Jesus is coming as a thief. Quoting from Matthew 24 now. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. It's the same thing. In the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and they didn't know a thing until the flood came and took them away. Life was normal. Peace and safety. But all you brothers are not in darkness that this day should surprise you like a thief. You're sons of the light and sons of the day. We don't belong to the night or the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep. The sleeping servant whose house got broken into. So let us not be who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. The drunken servant who thought his master delayed his coming. Since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and hope, the hope of salvation. So we see that Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, is talking about the same event Jesus is in Matthew 24. And when does Jesus place that event? Jesus himself, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. So it tells you there is no pre-tribulation rapture. There never was. Now, we're going to answer the last question. In chapter 25, he not only talks about the parable of the 10 virgins having to do with his coming, the parable of the talents, but in verse 31 he talks about the sheep of the goats. Now, Blake, remember the three questions. The first question, the destruction of the temple. When will this happen? 2, what will be the sign of your coming? We covered those two. Jesus answered them. Now the very thing he answers at the very last thing in the Sermon on the Mount, the very last thing he answers is the end of the age, the end of the world. He said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, he'll sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a separate sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Now this is the great white throne judgment. This is, now remember, that day is 1,000 years long. So now when people read this, not understanding that the day of the Lord is 1,000 years long, they're thinking that as soon as Jesus arrives in his glory and his angels with him, at that moment he's going to start the judgment. No, it doesn't happen until at the end of that 1,000 years. But it's all one day. So it speaks of it as one day, because that day is 1,000 years long, the day of the Lord. So the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him. He will sit on his throne in that day in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. Now to the sheep, he says, enter in to this prepared for you since the creation of the world. That's where they're judged from the books. and they're found okay. Right? He says, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was in prison and so forth. And the righteous will answer, when did we do these things? When did we ever see you naked or a stranger and so forth? And he said, when you did this to the least of these, my brethren. Who is he speaking of? He's speaking of the elect. Those who were taken in the first resurrection. Whenever you did this to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Now, to the goats, he says, depart to you where? Where does he tell them to depart to? Depart from me, you who are cursed, verse 41, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the lake of fire. When do people get thrown in there, Blake? To prove the point, when does anybody get thrown into the lake of fire besides the beast and the false prophet? At the end of the age. At the great white throne judgment. So this is, Jesus has told them now about the end, hasn't he? So he's answered all three questions. What will be the sign of your coming? I mean, what, first of all, when will this happen with the temple? What will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the end of the age? The separation of the sheep and the goats happened at the end of the age, right? That's when they're thrown into the lake of fire, these goats. That's when he says to the sheep, enter ye into your kingdom prepared before the creation. So we've answered all three. Jesus answered them in the order they asked him, didn't he? This is the truth of it. It's a good place to stop. But any questions, comments?